I'm inspired, man. And I hope you feel inspired. But can I tell you what? The reality is, who is next? Because the truth is, God has called, God has given you visions and dreams and things that you need to fulfill. But here's the reality. The reality is, you know what? This is not a movie. Your life is real, and there's tough things, there's situations in your life, you know what? And maybe there's somebody in your family and they're going through a sickness. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe there's something in your business or your job, or maybe you just feel like, man, I know God has called me to this position, but I'm not there yet. And it's been a year and 2 years and 3 years, and maybe you've struggled in your marriage for many, many, many years, and there's a sense that you just want to go, man, I just give up. I've just kind of finally figured out that it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. And God is saying to you today that we've got to understand the power of tenacity. The power of willingness to just go another day.
Come on.
Do another week. You know what? Do another push-up. Do whatever it takes that you're going to do. You're going to walk in love. You know what? Pray another prayer. Have another day where you are optimistic about what God is doing in your life, not pessimistic, where you don't give up.
Come on. Amen.
But you recognize, no, I'm not going to give up until I see the plan of God happening in my life.
Right. Amen. Come on.
Amen. Amen. I want to show you in the Word a great story of this lady, and she was tenacious. How many know these stories are put in the Bible, you know what, specifically for us to live our life by? And this is a great story of this lady, and she's not, you know what, and she continues to go to God and continues to believe that he's going to give her daughter freedom. Turn with me, it's in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Of course, I'm reading out of the New King James. If you don't have that version, that's okay. There's a lot of good versions, but if you want to follow with us word for word, we have it right here up on the screen. Starting with verse 21. When Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Here's what you need to know. That Jesus is going from a place where there is almost complete Jews to a place where there's almost no Jews. He's going from a region that's very, very Jewish to a region that's very, very un-Jewish. Verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region. When the Bible says, and behold, you know what it's telling us? I want you to pay attention to what's going to happen right here. And he's telling us that because this story is going to benefit us if we'll pay attention. And behold, a woman from Canaan came from that region and cried out to him saying, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. O Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. When I read that this morning, I just started to laugh. You know what I mean? Because I saw it this morning. Previous times I hadn't seen it. But this morning it just caught me. And notice, she wasn't demon-possessed. What was her daughter?
Severely
demon-possessed. How many know, if you got a demon in you, you're messed up. But the reason why it struck me is because, think about it as a mom. It's her passion and her desperation for her daughter that she cries out and says, let me tell you about, my daughter is messed up to the max. She's severely demon-possessed. Now, notice God's response. Verse 23, but he answered her, what?
Not a word.
He didn't say anything to her. My first point is this, don't quit. even when God seems to be silent. And notice the interesting word here, seems to be silent. Everybody say seems to be silent. Now, I don't know if you know the story or not, but I'll tell you the story. Jesus is going to deliver this woman's daughter. Amen. But to her, at this point, it would seem like God isn't doing anything. That's why the Bible says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. But what many people do, even many Christians do, is they walk by sight, not by faith. They walk by what they see, not by trusting in the Lord and looking unto Him, the author and finisher of your faith. They have an attitude. They look at what we talked about, the power of not looking at your circumstances. You look at your circumstances and say, well, it's been this way. I've had this sickness. You know what? I have had this marital problems. I've had, you know, my kids have been away from God. Whatever it is, you know what? I've always had trouble with this. Whatever it is, for such a long time, and we start to accept that it's never going to get better. Can I tell you what? And we think wrongly, like God's not doing something. Can I tell you something about God? He is on your side. Here's what the Bible says, that He goes before you and makes the crooked path straight. Can I tell you something? God is on your side.
Yes, He is.
And instead of thinking, oh, look, trip out, because we read the story and it's easy for us to think, whoa, did Jesus have a bad day today? What is His problem? How many know Jesus never had a bad day?
That's right, never had a bad day, that's right.
Never. But we look at it, His no response, and we think, man, what is He doing? Why is He acting like that? May I submit this to you, that God isn't rejecting her, but God is trying to pull something out of her. Think about it for a minute. We think the Christian life is a life that is just to be enjoyed, and God is for us, and everything's going to be smooth. Here's the problem. The Christian life is the best life, that's for sure. The Christian life is a good life, that's for sure. But to think that you're not going to go through any adversity, that's not true. God has never promised that you won't go through any adversity. Here's what God has promised, that He'll see you out of every adversity. Amen. Amen. And matter of fact, you know what? And this will mess up your theology a little bit, but matter of fact, you know what? God, the Bible says that God tested Abraham. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Did God test Abraham because He loved him or because He didn't love him? See, is God have a willingness to put you on the bottom of the mountain with the bicycle and smile and say, I'll meet you up on top of the mountain? Does God have that willingness? Well, let me submit to you, He does. And He tells Abraham, the Bible says, and we know, listen, and we cannot redefine what the Bible says, because the Bible says that God tested Abraham. What's He trying to do? He's not against Abraham, He's for Abraham. And He tests him, and He wants to see how obedient Abraham will be.
That's right. Come on.
Abraham, the Bible says, gets up early in the morning. He's told to sacrifice his son, burnt sacrifice. He gets up early in the morning, and he takes his son, you know what, to be sacrificed.
That's right.
Well, you know the story. God's not against Abraham.
Right.
God's for Abraham.
Right.
And right when he's ready to bring down the sword, you know what, the angel stops him. Why? Because God is for you.
Yes.
But how many know, as they're walking back, you know what? That Abraham knew himself how obedient he'd be to God. What happened? His character was tested.
Right.
And here's what happened. And he passed the test. And now Abraham knows. For some of you, you know what? You're just going through a test.
Right. Now's
not the time to give up. Now's not the time to think that God's against you. No, God is for you.
That's right. Come on.
And in His silence, just because He's silent doesn't mean that He's against you. It doesn't mean that He's not going to deliver you. Matter of fact, I've got some awesome scriptures that we would look at. Look at James. Real quick, look at James. The Bible says, James, the first chapter, the second verse, it says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." See, stop looking at your trials in like, oh, you know what, I guess God ain't doing anything. No, God is going before you and making your crooked path straight. Put your trust in God. Knowing, go to the next verse, knowing that the testing of your faith, what does it produce?
Patience.
It produces patience. Next verse. Next verse. I'll just tell you. And let patience have its perfect work. That you would be, you know what, that you would be complete. The New King James says that you would be perfect and complete, lacking what?
Nothing.
You know what? You ever seen these muscle guys? You know what I mean? Yeah, they're working out. Yeah, they've gone through a lot of training and a lot of adversity with weights and strained and pulled and pushed and done all this. But let me tell you what. You know what? When they're done working out, I tell you what, you got something. You want somebody helping you push your car? Give me that guy. Amen? Amen? One time, Tamara and one of our good friends, they were in the apartments, and they were moving a big piece of glass that they had to move. And here comes walking down the stairs this big guy, you know what I mean? I mean, just rippled with muscles. No lie. And here's what he says to Tamara and our friend. He says, "Wow, that looks really heavy." And he kept on walking down. Did that happen, Tamara? But let me tell you what. The character developed that God's developing in you is so that you would be lack perfect and lacking nothing. That perfect means that there would be this maturity in you that you could get the job done. Stop looking at it as a negative. Put it in the right column. It's a positive. Look at this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Look at this. Persecutions, afflictions. Ooh, if you know what? Persecute. I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want to be afflicted. I don't want to know what. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me. This is Paul talking at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. There's things. Listen, this is the Apostle Paul, and he went through persecutions and afflictions. If Paul went through persecutions and afflictions, how many know you and I are going to have to go through some persecutions and afflictions? But the thing is, you need to know and you need to understand and you need to put it in the right column. You know what? Consider it all joy. When you're going up that hill on that bike, you need to say, "I'm telling you what, I'm getting ripped. This, I'm telling you what, the bigger they are, the harder they fall." Do you understand the mentality? We have gotten to a place in our society, in our narcissistic, all about you society, that we are not tough anymore. And that's crept into the church, and we've lost an important power, the power of tenacity. But look what it says. What persecution what did he do? Endured. Everybody say endured.
Endured.
He's just enduring it. He's like, hey, it's going to be better tomorrow. It's going to be better tomorrow. It's going to be better tomorrow. And at some tomorrow came. And look what. And out of some of them. And out of how many of them? And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Can I tell you what? God's not a respecter of persons. God's going to deliver you out of your troubles. He's going to deliver you out of your persecutions. But what you have to do is you have to be tenacious. To give him praise. To give him thanks. To, listen to this, to judge that God is a good God. There's something happens as we think, oh, you know what? God has abandoned me. No, the Bible says God will never leave you or forsake you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at Psalms 34, verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. Look what it says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now we're like, oh, I don't like that scripture. You know, it should be say few, or it should say none. Well, let me tell you what. It doesn't say few, and it doesn't say none. You know what it says? It says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what's the next word after that? But the Lord delivers him out of how many of them? Out of all of them. See, stop thinking that the Lord, because you you judge that Jesus is silent. You judge that God's silent. You judge that God isn't doing anything. This lady could have done that. Is God against her or is God for her? God is for her. What's he trying to do? He's trying to pull something out of her. He's trying to build character up in her. And I would submit to you that God is doing the same thing in you. Look at this next verse. It's in Psalms 39. Look what Psalms 37 says. Psalms 37, 25. I have been young and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Guys, God's not going to forsake you. Yeah, but I haven't seen what I want. Yeah, but how long has it been? Well, it's been a whole 4 months. Hey, God's not going to forsake you. It's been a whole 4 years. God's not going to forsake you. He's on your side. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. God is for you. And then look at Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at this. This is so good. And sometimes we read scripture, especially like this, that we know so well, and we don't even contemplate what's really happening here. Look what he says. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're more than conquerors. How in the world can you conquer anything unless there's a battle? Amen? See, you're a conqueror because you go through adversity and you stick with it, and God, the God who promises never to leave you or forsake you, is there with you. I'm more than a conqueror through him. God is the one who's going to defend me. God is the one who's going to see me through. God is the one. Me and him, we are together. And we are going to be victorious because I'm not giving up on God. Matter of fact, just go ahead. Guys, follow me in the back. That scripture is so awesome. Let's go backwards for a little while. Let's watch how powerful it gets. Look up at verse 35. Who shall separate us? What are we talking about? Where's the power come from? Everybody say God. You are more than conqueror through him. The power is through him. Everybody say the power is of God. But he's going to do it, activate it through you. You are, here's what the Bible says, that the many wondrous things were done through the hands of the apostles. Well, who empowered them to do those things? God did. But it came through their hands. That's what the Bible says. So understand the connection. Look at verse 35 again. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? What's going to separate us from God? Shall tribulation? Everybody say no. No. Shall distress? No. Shall persecution? No. Shall famine? Nor nakedness, nor peril, nor sword. The apostle is saying, nothing's going to separate you from the power of God. Nothing. Now let's go higher up than that. Watch this. Who shall condemn? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also has also risen, even as at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. What's God doing? God is praying. Jesus is praying to God about you. What's he praying? God, I pray they won't give up. I pray they won't stop. I pray they won't give in. I pray that they will understand that they are more than conquerors through me, and that I promise never to leave them or forsake them. Are you seeing this? What's going to separate you? You know what? But let me tell you what happens. Many times it's persecution, it's distresses, it's annoyances, it's all kinds of things. And we just throw up our hands and say, well, I guess God's not for me. I guess I missed it. You know how many people used to come to church and they're not in church anymore and they've relegated themselves and they've just given up? May I humbly suggest this, that God is not against you, that God is for you. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to develop character in your life. Amen. Amen. Number two, don't quit even when others try to discourage you. Am I the only one who's had a dream from God and other people have told me, you know what? Oh, I tell you what, that ain't going to happen. That's a stupid idea. Has anybody been told your idea was stupid? Oh, that's a stupid idea. Am I the only one? Look at verse 23 and 25. Matthew 15, verse 23 and 25. Look at what it says. But he answered, not a word. Watch this. So Jesus didn't say anything, okay? And look what else happens in this story. And his disciples came and urged him. Jesus didn't say anything, but now, watch this, the disciples come back, and what are the disciples doing? Disciples, look what they do. And they urge him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Man, this lady is a bug, man. Get rid of her. Hello? Let me tell you what. If you are going to fulfill the calling of God on your life, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to swim upstream. Let me tell you what you're going to have. You're going to have all kinds of people. Listen, even people that are close to you, and they're going to tell you, it's not going to make any sense to them. And I don't know why, but people feel very obligated to tell you their opinion. Hello, is this not true? And they're going to tell you what they think, and they're going to and here's the deal. Here's the freaky thing about this is that some of their reasonings will make sense to your mind. I mean, the Bible says, "Lean not unto your understanding, but trust in the Lord." Do you understand what you have to do? See, as it making sense, and all of a sudden their reasonings are making sense, that, you know what, well, you're just too old to do anything. Well, you're just too young to do anything. Well, you're just not educated enough. You don't have enough resources. You don't have all this stuff. Did you understand how we are more than conquerors? Well, it doesn't make any difference. You're too old. You're too young. You don't have enough resources. All that doesn't make any difference. You're not more than a conqueror because of you. You're more than a conqueror because of him. So it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. Their reasonings can be very logical. And what ultimately you have to say is, it doesn't make any difference. Amen. What you say. I'm sticking with what God says. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference what the doctor says, what the lawyer says, what the politicians say, what your neighbors say, what your friends say, you know what your dog thinks. It doesn't make any difference. You just have to make a decision. I tell you what, here's what the Bible says. And I'm not saying that we can't be wrong, but the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. What happened when God called Tamar and I here, and we have several people tell us, you shouldn't go there. That's not a good idea. That's not a good career choice. Well, that's a, you know what, that, all this stuff. What did I do? You've got to learn to silence the naysayers. Well, you'll never, it'll never, and you know what, and you start listening to them, and you start giving validity on their arguments. And you know what? When you do that, you're in trouble. Because here's what you're going to do. You're going to walk away from the blessings of God. I was here for over a year. And I knew that God had called us here. I remember sweet, sweet lady, where there's only about 20 people in the church at that time. And Tamara and I are here where, you know what, God had called us here. We put our resume in, and we're just waiting. I remember when a lady stood up. She was part of the church. She was a gracious lady, and she stood up, and here's what she said. She said, we need to continue to, and I'm sitting right there on the front row. Y'all know where I sat, right? Y'all know where I sat, right? Where did I sit? The front row. Okay. Well, it wasn't right there. It was over there. But anyway, but I was sitting there right in the front row with Tamara, and here's what she said. She said, we need to continue to pray that we would find our next pastor, whoever he or she is. I'm like, what are you talking about, he or she? It ain't a she, because it's me. Hello. But you start listening to that and you start waiting. And what will month after month, week after week, day after day, and Satan comes and he says, you know what? No, no, no. These apostles are right. Just go. What does she do? She understands the power of tenacity. She ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. I'm not leaving till the Son of God heals my severely demon-possessed daughter. Amen. Because let me tell you what she understood. She understood the character of God. She understood that ultimately God was for her. Amen. You know, it's so interesting to me because if you think about David for a minute. David is anointed to be king. And week after week, month after month, year after year, he's not only not doesn't take the kingship, but he's got the king after him. You're thinking, man, what's going on here? 13 years later, and he's still not king. And he goes through one of the biggest devastation of his life. At that point in time, he had gotten a bunch of kind of a ragtag group of guys together, and that was his army, and they were in their town, and they had families, and they had kids, and they were off, and the enemy came in and stole all their children and all their wives. And they come back, and let me tell you what, everybody is in an uproar, because how many know when something goes wrong, who gets blamed? The leader. And they are all upset because of David, caused this to happen, made it happen, couldn't, you know, what are we going to do? Imagine you come back and your kids and your wife are gone. And they're all upset. You say, Pastor, what did David do? Here's what he did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. See, when people around you are saying, it'll never happen, it'll never work, it's very powerful and it can cause you to give up. But what God is speaking to you and saying, no, don't give up. If I promised it to you, just grab a hold of it and don't listen to them. Do what David did. You know what he did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And then a beautiful thing happened. Because let me tell you what, it kind of goes into the power of singing. How many know there's a good chance that David probably sang some good songs? Amen? Yeah. But there's something that happens as you start encouraging yourself. You know what? It's addictive. It's not addictive. It's uplifting. Other people catch it around you. It's contagious. It's infectious. Amen? It's infectious. It's contagious. And next thing you know, the men are like, ooh, they're all crying, they're all upset. And David starts saying, you know what? I don't know exactly what he's saying, but the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He was probably, you know what, singing, you know what? I'm going to sing, I'm going to shout. He used the power of encouraging himself and not seeing himself. The tools that we've given you, not to put that label on, I'm defeated, I'll never be successful, it'll never work, look at what happened, this is the worst day of my life. No, this is going to be the best day of my life, because here's what we're going to do. God has never left me or forsake me, and I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, we're going to go in there, we're going to put a whipping on our enemy, we're going to get back our kids, we're going to get back our wife, and that's exactly what they did. He encouraged, but here's what I'm saying, he encouraged himself first. Sometimes, listen to me, the only person who's going to encourage you is you. I'm just telling you. And you got to be tough. Okay? So don't whine because you don't have a popcorn button on your microwave. Don't whine because you're at the bottom of the hill. Rejoice, recognize this. Stop seeing it for what the Satan would tell you. How about you know Satan always wants you to focus on the wrong things? No, don't look at it as a negative. Look at it as a positive. You know what? This is going to be what a great opportunity I have to strengthen my legs and get up this hill.
Amen.
When you get up that hill, maybe you're out of breath. But I tell you what, you can look at that hill and you can laugh.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, I'll put a whipping on you, hill.
Oh, there it is. Come on.
And I'll do it again tomorrow. Amen?
Come on.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what God is saying to you?
Yeah.
When others are even saying, don't quit, don't listen to them. Encourage yourself. It's so interesting in this story. Did you know this? I don't know if you knew this. Guess what happens 3 days later? 3 days later, the king is dead and David takes the kingship.
Amen. Yeah.
Is that cool? Here's what I'm saying to you. What is that, Pastor? What does that mean to me? All I'm saying to you is maybe you've been going through something for 13 days, for 13 months. Maybe you're going through something for 13 years. Can I tell you what? And you're right ready to give up. And God is speaking to you and saying, hey, do you recognize you might be 3 days away from your victory?
3 days.
And that's how you have to look at it. And it might not be 3 days. It might be 3 months. It might be 3 weeks. It might be 3 years. But don't quit. Can you imagine what would happen if, in real time, do you know how easy it would be for David at that point to just pack it in and say, I don't know what I was thinking. That prophet was Looney Tune. I'm going back to doing the sheep thing, taking my harp, minding my own business. I'm not called to lead anybody. Look what I have done. People, it's interesting. People look at successful people. And here's what they say. They look at success and they think, ooh, man, that person is so successful. And then they look at people who are failures. And they say, that person's successful and that person's a failure.
Come on.
Can I tell you the difference between the failure and the success? Listen to me very carefully. Oh, you say, that's easy. That person has failed and that person has succeeded. Not true. Here's the difference. The person who's failed and the person who's succeeded, they're very much alike. Because here's the reality. They both have got to go through failures. The difference between the successful person and the failure is this. The failure throws his hands up in the air and says, well, you know what? I quit. The successful person smiles and says, well, I tell you what. This business might have failed, but I tell you what, I learned something in this failure. And it's going to make my next business even better.
Yeah, come on.
See, they won't even put it in the category of a failure. They'll just put it in the category of, well, I learned something today.
Yeah, come on.
Do you see what's happening?
Yeah.
Their character is being developed. And the final thing, and we'll close with this, is my third thing is don't quit. Even when you feel unworthy. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except, this is Jesus responding to her. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're not Jewish. I don't have to give you nothing. Listen to me. Let me tell you something about God. God is not a respecter of persons. We saw it in Revelation. God is going to save every tribe and every tongue. Amen. Amen. You know what? That's the reality. So God is saying, Jesus is saying, you know what? No. I was not sent except to the lost house of Israel. Next verse. And she came and worshiped him. Is she done? Everybody say the power of tenacity. She ain't done. She's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me tell you what. I don't care. I don't care about my background. I'm going to worship the one true and living God. And she worships Jesus. Watch this. Worship him saying. Listen, when you tell God, God, you are the source of my success. You are who's going to get me out of my trouble. God says, man, you worship me, and I love that. She worships him saying, Lord, help me. Next verse. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, here's my question. How many of us are saying, I ain't done yet? Remember Rocky? Okay. And in first round, he's getting pounded. Second round, he's getting pounded. Third round, he's getting pounded. Fourth round, he's getting pounded. But what happens? At some round, he recognizes, I'm not going down. I'm going to win. She ain't going down. I love her response. Look at her response. And let me tell you what her response is based on. Her response is based on understanding the character of God. How many know God is a good God? God is not a respecter of persons. God is anyone. Listen, for God has loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. All you have to do is cry out to God. Anyone. I love what she said. And she said, yes, Lord. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But let me tell you what's up. I ain't going to quit. That's right. Yes, Lord. But even the little dogs eat the crumbs. Thank you. I mean, no, man, this lady is tenacious. She is gonna see her daughter delivered from that demon. And she's going to see, listen to me, and she's going to see that her daughter delivered from the demon today. Can you say amen to this?
Amen.
Let me tell you, even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Amen. What is God saying to us? Listen, don't quit. And you perceive that God, no, God is there. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. Other people are saying stuff. Don't worry about that. You perceive, listen. Let me tell you why you're worthy. Can I tell you why you're worthy? Because God says you're worthy. You know, David says, man, who is man that God's mindful? What is he saying? I can't believe that God even pays attention to us. Well, let me tell you what. God is so, you know what, so mindful of who you are that he even counts the hairs on your head. God is crazy about you. Don't ever, ever think that you're not worthy. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not. Stop saying that. Stop thinking that. Did I tell you why you shouldn't think that? Because God says you are. Don't call unclean what he's called clean. Don't call unworthy what he's called worthy. God says you're worthy, then guess what? You're worthy, amen? And be tenacious, and don't let anyone cause you to quit. Don't let yourself, your past, anything, don't give up. God is for you. He's on your side. He loves you. Amen. 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 We need to get some toughness in us. We need to stand up and say, you know what? As for me and my household, let me tell you what, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what I mean? Let me tell you what, I'm not getting divorced from my wife. Let me tell you what, I'm not accepting the report from the doctor. Let me tell you what, I'm not going to, I'm going to be the lender, not the borrower. That's who I'm going to be. Where you're starting to recognize this is what God says about me. I don't care what it looks like. Can I tell you what? It didn't look good for this lady. And yet, just because, think about this for a minute. Just because her tenacity, the same day her daughter got delivered. How many of us just give up in one, I mean, just a little bit of, just a little adversity. We're like, I'm not going to church that anymore. That person hurt my feelings. Listen, you can't go nowhere, amen? You're called here, amen?
That's right.
And yeah, maybe they hurt your feelings, but maybe they didn't even mean to, amen? Or maybe they did. Maybe they're just a snotty person. Who cares, amen? Amen?
Amen.
no, 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 no. Yeah, but I already invited somebody to church. They said no. So what? You're not looking for the no's. You're looking for the yeses. Amen? Yeah. You know how many people would love to come to a church like this? Yeah. And all they have to do is be invited. Just renew your mind according to what God says about you. Because let me tell you what God says. Through me, you're more than a conqueror.
That's right. Amen.
Don't accept defeat. Don't accept defeat. Don't accept defeat. I'm talking to someone. Don't accept defeat in your life. Maybe somebody close to you has passed away. And you just think, man, Pastor, I'm just so distraught. I'm just so discouraged. I'm just so depressed. You know what? Just cry out to God. God knows what's going on. Just cry out to God. Just tell God, God, I love you. And I don't know what to do. But I need your help. Can I tell you what? God will answer you. And God will answer you. Did you learn something today?
Yes.
Did you learn something today?
Yeah.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. Look at your neighbor and say, don't quit. Amen. I'll give you the mic this time.
Thanks. That helps me. It's interesting. Do you ever wonder, what if David wouldn't have encouraged himself?
Wow. Yeah, that's...
And what happens when we don't encourage ourselves? What losses stay in our life? What losses do we encounter? Because we do not encourage ourselves in the fact that we have God with us. That he never leaves us, never forsakes us. That he's there for us. That he has something to say, I'm sure, about the situation. That we would press into him and hear what it is that he has to say. He's always speaking, but many times we're not listening. And so we don't know what he's saying. But it would have been a completely different story. David turned that whole thing around because he knew who God was. He knew he would not go alone. And he knew that what had happened was surely not of God. It was not God's will. And so he fought. It wasn't just a sad time. Those guys wanted to kill him. His own people were so upset that they were turning on him. It was a miserable time for David. And yet in that misery, he did not forget that he was not alone. God would never turn on him. God was with him. And God would just, he was used to depending on God, was he not? We see that. Are you used to depending on God? That's what we need to get ourselves in that place where we're always aware that he is there. And if it takes encouraging ourselves to remind ourselves of that, to remind ourselves about the lion and the bears and all the other things in our life, of when God has been there and how faithful he is and who he is by his character, well, then let's do that. Amen? And let's not accept defeat, because it's not what God intends for you. Amen? Amen.